You're listening to the Carterville Church Life Podcast. I love our church family, and I hope that you do too. Our goal is that the episodes of this podcast would keep us connected and focused while we're scattered for our week on missions together. I hope that you're blessed by what you hear today. Hey, church family, welcome back to the podcast. It has been a while. I've been a little bit tied up with some other things, but I'm thrilled to be able to dust off the microphone so that I can introduce you to Brandon Harden. Brandon Harden's with me in the office today to record just a little bit about himself. I wanted to introduce our church family to the man that God's brought to lead us in worship for a while. So, Brandon, hey, it's really good to have you. Welcome to the podcast, man.
Great to be here, Ben. Thank you for inviting me on here. Carterville, I'm so excited. Looking forward to what God is going to do through our time together here.
Yeah, me too. So I want to use the podcast episode today to, I guess, shine a little bit of light on your personality, your background, your family. What if we kick it off in the very beginning? Hey, where are you from?
So I'm originally from Houston, Mississippi, born and raised. My wife and I both grew up there, graduated from high school there. And so that is home. That's where all of our family lives. That's home for us.
So it seems like a million years ago, but for a season, I was a youth minister for some interim work at First Baptist Church, Calhoun City. Did that for them twice when I was at Mississippi State. I drove through Houston every time I went from Starkville to Calhoun City.
Absolutely. You'll miss it if you blink, but it's a sweet place that we like to call home.
Yeah, that's good, man. Well, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for the roots. Okay, so I remember you telling me that you were a band director before
that's
you
right.
were a worship pastor. High school band director?
High school band director. Middle school band director, all of the above. A lot of smaller schools don't have multiple band directors, so a lot of people wear many hats. And so I taught at three different schools while I was in public school. I taught at Water Valley. I taught at Houston at my home. And then I got the call to go move to Amory to be the head band director of a much larger program. And so that was an exciting move for us. Which took us in a direction that we never expected that we would be in, because while we were there attending the church as just faithful members, the opportunity came for me to become the interim music minister. And throughout that journey, God placed a clear call on my life. And so I'm grateful for the path that God took us, where we ended up in Amory, ended up at a church to where, you know, God placed a call on our life because of the situations that we were in. And so we're very grateful for that. But of course, you know, growing up, I just knew that my calling was going to be teaching. My calling was going to be a band director. And little did I know that, you know, 30 plus years later, that's not what I would be.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for it.
Yeah. So you told me the story about how while you were at Amory, you were called by the Lord into an interim role there, and then you became a worship leader.
That's right.
So from there, you got a really unique calling. I know you served some churches full time.
That's right.
And then God called you to collegiate, like to academics, to
that's
teach,
right?
Right? That's right. Okay, so we have three, some of our listeners might not know this. As a Baptist, I think this is an interesting tidbit. We have three Baptist colleges that Southern Baptists sort of participate in and help cooperate with. The one you're familiar with around here is William Carey. Then in Clinton, Mississippi, we've got Mississippi College. And in the far north, Blue Mountain University.
That's
where God sent you, correct?
It is. It is. So, you know, I had a background in band directing. Then I served two churches full-time. And I had begun my seminary work towards better equipping myself in the area of ministry. When the opportunity came for Blue Mountain, they wanted to not only start a band program, but they wanted someone who could also lead their worship studies. And so I kind of had the unique giftings and, you know, area of quote-unquote expertise where I could teach in both of those areas.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I'm grateful. Funny story, just Blue Mountain, we moved there. I don't remember which child it was, but they kept asking for where was the mountain, because there's no mountain in Blue Mountain. There's some significant hills, but no mountains.
So the year before Chris and Hope started working on SMAC faculty, I spoke for SMAC at Blue Mountain,
mm-hmm.
and I enjoyed it. And I said, "Oh, y'all should ask my friends to be involved." I enjoyed it, but you're right. There's a hill.
There's a hill.
There's a hill that's big enough for a Visqueen water slide, you know.
That's right.
And to be honest, it was kind of fun.
That's right.
Beautiful little place, but it's a wonderful little, got a great religious studies program.
Yes.
Turned out some great ministers and pastors, but a small kind of undiscovered gem for a lot of Mississippians.
Yeah, and I'm grateful for my time there. I got my foot in the door in academia. Yeah. And just opened up a lot of opportunities for me there.
So I think it's interesting for the church to know this, and I'll bet most of the church has already picked up on this. That's still what you're doing now. Like you are a full-time college professor. You teach at William Carey, and in a minute I'm going to let you tell us what you do. But you also still have a calling in your life to lead worship in the local church. And so while you teach full-time faculty at universities, you also are always a partner with a local church where you're leading worship. And right now, we're blessed that that's Carterville. We'll get to see you on the platform. We'll get to know what you do in the local church. We'll get to see you in choir rehearsal and around the office. We're not going to see you as much on campus. What do you do on campus? Tell me what you do at William Carey.
Yeah, so at William Carey, I'm the coordinator of worship studies and an assistant professor of music. And so my day-to-day looks like I teach most of the courses that our undergraduate and graduate students take that are majoring in worship leadership. So I teach those courses. I also teach the worship choir, which is part of my favorite aspects of the job at Carey is teaching the worship choir. We've got 115 to 120, it varies, singers. Mm-hmm. We've got a band. You know, we go various churches, campus events, off-campus events. It's an exciting group. But also lead a worship band called Restoration Band. Mm-hmm. We also travel, and it's primarily geared toward youth and college events. But I get to do those ensembles, and that with my teaching load and recruiting responsibilities keeps me pretty busy.
I bet it does.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet it does. So welcome to Carterville.
Thank you.
Let's get to know your family a little bit.
Yep.
I know that you have a fantastic family, and I got to spend a little time with you guys at lunch last week after church. Enjoyed it very much. You guys came out of the house. We were glad to have you. But our church hasn't met your family.
Right.
Can you, I know we're not even holding up pictures right now, but can you introduce your family to the podcast just so they know a little bit about who you guys are?
Sure. I mentioned earlier, my wife and I are both from Houston, but my wife is Christy. We've been married for 21, maybe 22 years. We are high school sweethearts. We were in band together in college and high school, and honestly, we grew up together. You know, we married young, and I'm grateful for that. But she's great. She's trained in speech pathology, but right now she stays at home and she homeschools our kids. And so we have five children. Nora is our oldest. Nora's 16. Grady, he's our second, and he's 14. Then we have Aubrey, who's 10. Zeke, who's 7, excuse me, and Micah, who is 3. And they keep us very busy, but we're very grateful to be able to pour into their lives and looking forward to, you know, the people that they're going to grow into that God has them. We're just very excited.
So yeah. I'll say this, you know, Carterville, we have a heartbeat to be a multi-generational church. We mm-hmm. want to see every generation making disciples for Jesus in their generation. And hey, your family makes it kind of easy. You got
them all.
You got preschoolers, you got children's ministry, you got youth ministry.
That's right.
And then
soon
you guys
to be college.
Like, hey, you know? Man, listen, you're set. Thanks a lot.
We keep y'all busy.
Dude, we're perfect for you.
That's wonderful.
We're perfect for you. Okay. What does your family do for fun? Like, give me a peek inside the Harden house.
Whew, I'm not sure you want to delve that deep. You know, honestly, with that wide of a range, it's not any one thing. So we've got many things because we're dealing with preschoolers all the way up through, you know, getting ready to go to college.
Got it.
And those older ones, you know, they've got friends and neighborhoods, so they do a lot of stuff with them. But we like to play board games. We like to... the kids read a lot, and so we go to the library a lot, do the fun things that are at the library, and honestly just hang out, watch movies, talk, have fun. Nothing major, nothing super exciting or dangerous, but it's fun.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. So I find you guys, my impression is that y'all are a clever family, you're a very personable family, you're warm, laid back, you're a little bit witty. You guys aren't like deer hunters. You know,
right.
I don't see you guys being I'm a big outdoorsy guy.
Right,
I don't think
right.
you're going backpacking with me, sadly for me.
Well, you know, honestly, we do like camping.
Okay, good.
I've had some issues that, you know, we've discussed that kept me from that.
You hurt your hip a while.
Yeah, so that's right.
I'm keeping score over here. That's 1 point.
Yeah.
1 point in your
We've got a Taj Mahal tent. You know, we could fit 15, 20 okay. people in that thing.
All right, I got
we
you.
Do love doing that.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, I'll give you some points for that.
Thanks.
All right, great. So I would love for the church to know just a little bit about you as a worship leader.
Okay.
I want to watch the time on our podcast. I don't want to make it too long, but we're going to get to know you better week mm-hmm. by week by week. The point of this podcast is to accelerate that so that our church family can get an idea of who's the guy up there with the microphone.
Sure.
Brandon, when you think about worship, man, tell me something you want congregations to know. When we show up on Sunday morning and we look up and you start playing music and we're about to sing to Jesus, mm-hmm. what are some things you want us to know?
So deep within my heart, I feel like the primary instrument of the church is the voice of the congregation.
Okay.
And so I love to hear a congregation singing.
Okay.
And with my one Sunday that I've been here so far, this is a singing church, and I love that. But just a reminder that we have been commanded to sing. At least 50 times in Scripture, we're commanded to sing, to cry out to the Lord. And singing and music is important. It's 450-something instances of singing and music in the Bible, with 50 of those being commands. And so, honestly, a singing church for me is vital. And I feel like if we're doing that well, then we're doing a lot of things well, because I choose songs that are solid in their theology. They speak truths about God, because I never want to put words in people's mm-hmm. mouths that don't say true things about our God.
Yeah, one of the things I liked about our conversations when we were interviewing you and mm-hmm. getting to know you and trying to determine if this was something God was doing for our church and mm-hmm. for you is you're a very biblically minded guy mm-hmm. and you have very healthy theology. I appreciated the priority that you placed on the language of the songs mm-hmm. that we sing, mm-hmm. like to make sure that we're singing things to Jesus that we should be singing
sure.
to Jesus. You know, good theology in our words. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Like there's a, I think sometimes when we're in the pew, our thoughts about worship are more preference-based.
Sure.
I like the style, I like the tempo, I like the beat, I like those instruments. I like the organ, I like the drum kit, whatever, right?
Right.
I mean, that's what everybody... But what I hope our congregation will continue to see is that it really, I think, much more important than the pace and the tempo sometimes mm-hmm. are the words we're singing
yes.
and where they're true. Let me ask you this. I'm going to give you kind of a test. I'm putting you on the spot. Okay.
All right.
All right.
I'm ready.
Hey, just so you know, podcast listener, no rehearsal. Like Brandon, he doesn't have a cheat sheet. If you could talk to the guy, the man in church who showed up with his family 2 weeks ago, hey, by the way, if you showed up with your family 2 weeks ago, I promise I'm not thinking about you. I'm making up a scenario totally from scratch. He's a deer hunter, football player in high school. He's doing his best to raise his kids for Jesus now. He's been out of church for a while. And the last thing in the world he's comfortable with mm-hmm. is singing out loud.
Sure.
He is so tempted to stand up and reverentially and quietly just watch us sing
right.
and wait till it's over and take notes in the sermon. Mm-hmm. He wants to honor Jesus. It is such a struggle for him, like
yeah.
emotionally. What do you tell the guy?
I understand that. It's a struggle for a lot of people, especially if they've not grown up in a singing household. Our house is like a living musical. There's always people
right.
singing, always things going on. But for people that don't grow up that way, it can be difficult.
Okay.
And so I empathize with them, but I also want to encourage them. As I mentioned earlier, we're commanded to sing.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as practically, when I choose songs, I'm going to be choosing songs in keys that are singable. And so you're not going to have to sing really high or really low. It's going to be right there in the wheelhouse.
Thanks
so
for
I'm
that.
Going to try and make it as easy as possible for you to sing comfortably.
There you go. I love it.
But there's nothing more manly than just hearty singing.
Yeah.
I mean, you look in Scripture over in Chronicles, the people out at the front lines of the battle was the choir.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, it wasn't the people with shields and swords and chariots. It was the choir.
I got you.
And so singing is super important. And when you can look out and you see your kids watching you sing,
yeah.
and in turn, they're going to turn around and sing, yeah. there's nothing better
than
that.
You know, you say that. I don't know that my dad's a particularly good singer. If my dad's listening to the podcast, I apologize, Dad. If you want to sing, I'll give you a good fair try if you want to try out again. But I don't remember if my dad's a great singer or not, but I clearly remember mm-hmm. sitting beside him on a pew in Sugar Loaf Baptist Church mm-hmm. and watching him sing.
Yeah.
And man, I couldn't remember if he carries a tune in a bucket or not, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But I can remember him singing.
Absolutely.
How cool is that? Absolutely. Right now? So I want to be that. You know, and for dads, like even if we don't sing pretty, I think the value of having those words on the screen, even if you just say them out loud.
Yep.
Man, just engage.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, I'm glad you're here. I think you play some musical instruments too. I'll wrap up with a musical thing, and then we'll land the plane.
All right.
What do you play? What are your musical instruments?
So, primary in college, I was a trumpet player.
Oh, Louis Armstrong.
Very much a trumpet player personality.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
Well, that's okay. It's probably safer that way.
Does that mean you're loud?
trumpet players are known to have a big head and be very proud, and so that's something I have to fight. You know. And that's okay. But yeah, so trumpet was my primary. When I got into ministry, I realized I needed to be able to play something where I could accompany myself.
I gotcha.
I'm an okay, like I can get through a little bit on piano. Nothing that I would be proud of or claim, but I play guitar as well.
Okay.
And so I do that so that, you know, if nobody shows up on Sunday, it's just me. We can make it through a service without having to be a cappella.
So, I got you. Yeah. Okay. Great. Well, that's exciting. Hey, man, I'm excited to have you. I got a front row seat to see how the Lord brought you. Mm-hmm. And so my testimony is without telling the whole story, I could tell the congregation, I really do believe that the Lord was in the work, mm-hmm. that it was His choice to bring you. And we're so glad to worship Jesus with you. Thanks for being with me on the podcast. And more so, thanks for bringing your family to Carterville. We're excited to worship Jesus with you.
Absolutely. We've felt so welcome so far, and it's just been a week.
Good deal. Well, yeah. Brandon, thanks. Here's to many more. I look forward to getting to know you better on the platform and off.
Amen.
Church family, thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you thought the episode was valuable, why don't you share it with somebody? Easy to like it and share it with friends so that we can get to know Brandon and the Hardin family a little faster.